Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story. Well, we subscribe to almost every one of these city magazines, the True, Atlanta Magazine, Chicago Magazine, Boston. We use them as inspiration sometimes, or, you know, we just want to see what's happening in other cities because it is a way to keep in mind because we're compared to a lot of these cities. You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. We say it all the time. People are constantly asking us where to eat, where to drink, what's coming next. That inspired one of the most fun stories I think we've done in Raleigh Magazine in the last year. When we were trying to predict what 2024 might look like and what might be new in the city, on the food scene, and we decided to tap a handful of top city magazine editors to forecast what they were seeing in their cities and maybe for us to see if it's moving this way. With me today to speculate on what might be the next big thing, Editor-in-Chief Melissa Housem.
This was such a fun idea. I worked on this story. I have to shout out to you. Like, we kind of came to this story together, and it was so fun to collaborate with these six city editors and put this together. I mean, these people absolutely have their fingers on the pulse of what's hot in their communities and what's coming, and it was so fun to see, not only because it's relevant here, like, what's already relevant here, what may be coming here. It was...
Well, I hope this comes out right, but... For a long time, there were people locally that we could reach out to and ask their opinion on what's coming, what they think is big. And I think we've been doing this long enough now that we now have people reaching out to us, asking us. So it felt weird to reach out locally. And so we do. I mean, I love city magazines. It's what inspired me to want to own Raleigh Magazine, was that I've lived in great cities that had great magazines that always make you feel like, you know, you're an insider. They are so clued in. They're so smart about what's next, what's hip, what's in, what's not. It felt like a great way for us to just naturally collaborate with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you just said, it's not uncommon for publications to project trends for the upcoming year. It's also not uncommon for them to tap their food writers or pundits or whatever. But we had literally just sent the November issue to the printer. It was that day. We don't often talk about the next issue on that day because it's really quite literally the only thing we don't want to talk about.
Right. We're exhausted.
But we were sitting there, and it was me, you, and Liz, and Lauren and Beth are like in the office right next to it. And I was like, somehow this came up, and I was like, let's just kind of talk about this for a second. And you know, I don't want to just ask the food writers. Eater famously does that, and you know, they're local to us too. So that's kind of like dipping our toes in the same pool. And we started talking about like, we're always looking at these other city magazines. And all of a sudden now I know where Gina's like, because, you know, I was sort of going down the research path of like, oh, I wonder if I can kind of research what's going on in these cities. And Gina was like, why don't you just ask them? And I was like, oh, well, duh. Genius, though.
And two thoughts come to mind. One, I had just we had just launched Give Raleigh, and we were in the midst of that and coming to, and I had picked up the phone and called Atlanta Magazine's publisher, Sean. We've not known each other personally, but we've crossed paths before. And it's funny. People joke about me putting my email and my phone number in the magazine. His phone number is in the magazine. I dialed it. It's his cell phone. He answers.
I love that.
And I tell him that we're launching something similar to what they do, different but similar. And he was so gracious and sat and we chatted. He told me all the things that went wrong the first year, all the things that he recommended that we try to do differently. And that kind of warmth and friendliness. And I thought if somebody did that to us, I mean, you're good about answering emails. I think that was your concern, was that you thought, will they respond?
I couldn't wait to say this to you on air because I know we've already talked about it, but people have heard it on the podcast. It's an ongoing joke between us about emails. Oh, God. And so I sent my emails to these editors at 4:30 on a Friday, and I cannot make this up that almost all of them responded by 6 p.m. that night or 7 p.m. Yeah. And I was so excited that they were responding and excited to talk to them. I ended up just like responding right back. So we're all, I guess a bunch of nerds. I say that
lovingly. Bunch of nerdy editors.
I know, a bunch of editors emailing back and forth on a Friday night. And it was really just to get the conversation started. It wasn't like, you know, we weren't working. But they were all like, oh, you know, tell me more about what you want to do. I'm absolutely in. And that was so cool. And the other cool thing was two of them responded immediately and said something about Raleigh. So the Dallas editor was talking about how he was jealous of this historic hot chocolate recipe at Isazu.
Yes.
And then he went on to say that he had a friend, I think, in Cary, and his parents maybe relocating the Triangle. He just loves Raleigh, and he mentioned some places he'd visited here. And then I believe it was the Chicago editor has a newsletter that she had just mentioned. She goes, I guess you can't guess what mac and cheese I just wrote about today, actually, and how strange that you emailed me today. And she was like, I just wrote about Raleigh. So it was really cool.
That.
Yeah. And so two of the cities were Chicago and DC, which were both cities that I had lived in briefly. And so that was also fun for me to like talk to them about and be familiar with their cities. But in Atlanta, you know, my family's there. You've lived there.
Yeah.
Anyway, the cities were those. So Dallas, Atlanta, Boston, Austin, Chicago, and DC. And Lauren spent a lot of time in Austin and really loves it. I actually am a huge fan of Austin Monthly. Even not living there, I really enjoy reading that content. All these magazines, actually. Yeah. But we've talked about the others.
We subscribe to almost every one of these city magazines. The True Atlanta Magazine, Chicago Magazine, Boston, Austin, I mean, Atlanta.
And the Washingtonian.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for us, we use them as inspiration sometimes or, you know, we just want to see what's happening in other cities because it is a way to keep in mind because we're compared to a lot of these cities, I think.
Yeah, I think the way that we kind of frame it is like a lot, sometimes things will happen in, you know, New York or DC or Chicago before it'll happen here, whether that's a fashion trend or a food trend. I think that is the rub with this one is where does Raleigh stand? We have been very prescient in a lot of our coverage.
Yes.
And, you know, we've covered things even before some. I think the very first one that happened was actually in 2022. Well, I shouldn't say the first one, but the first one that we talked about it happening, where we did that huge plant feature because we noticed that plants were like everybody's babies all of a sudden. And it was 6 months later that some of these other publications nationally or in big cities followed. And we started to see ourselves being either in time with them or in front of them or just behind, depending on the trend. And there's been several issues recently because, of course, now I also follow all these editors on Instagram. When they dropped their December issues, it was fun to see how many things were simultaneously happening in both
Great
areas.
Minds think alike.
Yeah. So it's super cool. But one of the things that they said that that stood out to me because it was in our November issue was the dramatic bathrooms.
Yes.
That was really cool to see. That was one of our – that was, well, it made it as a cover line. The, what was it? The Lovely Lou's. And I got so many, I didn't tell you, I got so many emails the day that newsletter went out. Also segue, side note, somebody just said to me something about, oh, I was reading your dish on this newsletter. This was over Thanksgiving. And I was reading about this bartender and I really enjoyed it. And I can't remember what they said. And I was like, well, you know that every newsletter has exclusive web content. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, we do at least a bare minimum of three, sometimes as many as eight exclusive web stories every week. And that's what the newsletter is. And then
it's on the website.
And they're all on the website. And then half of the newsletter are also stories from the print magazine, because that's how some people prefer to receive their stories. And honestly, the shock, they were, oh, I should read all the newsletters. I didn't realize it was original content. You should put that on there. And I'm like, it is.
It's clear.
It is, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you didn't know, here's your PSA that the newsletter is
doubling up. The newsletter is different. There's sometimes one or two stories throughout the month that's, you know, repeat from the magazine.
Yeah.
But most of it is new content.
Yeah, I described it as three little mini magazines each week. They're Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. They're original content. Yeah. There are some print stories. There's tidbits. There's exclusives. I mean, we've had some major breaks. Figulina broke in the newsletter.
Yes.
So anyway, that was my segue, side note. But a lot of people read the bathrooms one in the newsletter. I got so many emails about that. That was a lot of fun. But another big thing was the service fees, which I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big talker. I mean, it really is. And I think we are just starting to see it, where other cities across the country have really already, it's already in full force.
I forgot to tell you this too. I had a service fee I got a manicure for our cocktail classic. I got a service fee for using my credit card.
Oh yeah. They've all done it. Mine do too.
And
I've learned to take cash again. And I had somebody the other day, I pulled cash out to pay for something. They go, we don't take cash. I said, then don't charge me a service fee for my card.
Yeah. And that receipt, we did a couple interviews at a coffee shop, and two coffees after all the fees ended up being, and the tip ended up being $20. There were four separate fees. I'm going to have to give you that receipt, like, just to show you. It's confusing.
It's confusing. Yeah.
And it wasn't just, and I don't mean like an upcharge for syrup. I mean, I can't remember what they said, but one said service fee, one said credit card fee, and there were two other fees, and then a sales tax.
Yeah, it's a talker. I mean, it is really a debated issue about the idea of a credit card fee to cover the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we accept credit cards, and we don't for people, advertisers who pay for subscribers, and we don't charge a credit card. I mean, people got to do what they want to do, but I've gotten more keenly aware of it as I spend money, going, I'm going to take cash again a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And Melissa doesn't take a debit card, by the way. So.
I know. We're still going to do an episode on that.
We still have to fix that.
A couple other ones. You absolutely have to grab the issue to see the spread. There's pictures in there, and all their trends are in there. But they mentioned tin fish, which we have in this issue. So that was interesting.
Yes.
And then this is a big talker, whether it's non-alcoholic drinks or Sober Curious. We obviously just had a non-alcoholic bar open here, and Austin has one, which was the first in the country.
Yeah.
So they mentioned that. And then, but I think the biggest thing overall that was just the overwhelming trend of all of it is just the vibe, whether you're talking about, you know, fine dining becoming more accessible, not necessarily.
It's not getting cheaper.
Right.
It's getting more casual and comfortable. It's still fine dining.
Right.
It's like, which seems like a weird way to put it.
I know. It is. I think
more comfortable.
Yeah. I think the way that they put it is like, you might still pay $100 for an elegant dinner, but it, like, the vibe is more casual. You might feel more like you're in the chef's home. She didn't say that. I liked that. And everything is just a vibe, whether you're talking about Instagram-worthy cocktails, whether you're talking about lighting things on fire, whether you're talking about punny names, they mentioned that, whether you're talking about experiential restaurants, which is something we've kicked around doing. We don't have one here, but they're popping up in other places. Like, you know that thing in Vegas where it's like the arm goes off the side of the building? Like, they're starting to do restaurants like that.
Yes.
Like, up in the air with nothing under it. I just saw one. I don't know what city it was on, but I was watching reality TV, and they were in a glass restaurant. And when you look down at their feet, there was nothing under them, and they were in a skyscraper. Yeah, exactly. The producer's saying no. The thought of it makes me feel a little nauseous, but it looked cool.
I love what Dallas said about retro classics. One of the hottest restaurants serves lamb Wellington, lobster Thermidor. That there, it's like partying in 1965, so all the classics are coming back. You know, things always come around. It's always cyclical.
Exactly.
But I just thought that was really interesting.
We've done so much coverage on all the different retro aspects, you know, whether it's in fashion or food or liquor.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really cool to see that. And he said 65, I think the 90s too.
Well, I don't, I don't know. I think of Tom Collins, the cocktail that. And so that was served. That's one of the classic drinks we had at the Cocktail Classic. And I don't know that I go into restaurants very often and you see a Tom Collins on the menu. That sounds like something my parents would have drank.
You know what? That's actually a really good point, because the Cocktail Classic is sort of right in this niche, because you're taking these really historic cocktails and you're breathing new life into them. But for the most part, they weren't completely changed, you know?
Well, I haven't even told you this or anybody. We are in the process of talking with Niall Hanley, who owns Hibernian, and Annie Betty's. And I mean, the list is so long of places, Morgan Street Food Hall, about using their space at Botanicals and creating events, but small events for like 100, 125 people that are either tastings or experiential dining.
Love that.
But 3/4 of the ticket price goes to a charity. Niall's lost his mother to ALS, which is something dear to your family and mine. And so we're looking at kicking something off in February and doing. So it's not one of those things where you're going to watch a video and hear how awful the disease is. You're going to come, you're going to drink maybe tiki cocktails and it's a tiki theme, or it is bourbon, or it's, you know, it's some themed event that's just fun and experience. But, you know, your money supports something.
Yeah, I think people really like to go out and do something. Like, you give a justification to go out and you feel good.
Yes.
You know, instead of just, if you're going to go have a drink, then. But this has to be by far one of my favorite stories I've ever worked on, to get to collaborate with some of the greatest minds in the country, you know, when it comes to editorial, and talk about what's going on in their city and see how that's reflected in ours. And also just like what we're focused on. And they're just they were so generous with their time. They were kind, you know, I mean, everything.
Yeah, it's just, I think we cool. obviously should send them magazines and a little Raleigh Mag bag and be in touch. Be nice as we travel. We should drop in and see them.
Oh, absolutely.
And hopefully when they're here, do the same thing. We all love to travel. We all love what's happening. You know, one of the other things is in this issue, and I loved, you know, I kind of feel like Miracle and G. Patel and Josh are responsible for the sort of the burst of Christmas holiday bars coming on the rise here in Raleigh.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so I think he told me it's their sixth year. So if you're not familiar with Miracle, it was basically a concept. They chose 6 cities across the country, partnered up with a cocktail bar, and it launched the day after Thanksgiving, and it goes till the day after New Year's, I think, but it's fully decorated. The cocktails are in these fun cups. I mean, the first year, everyone, first year, Josh said they didn't even put any thought into the fact that people were going to steal the glasses. They were walking out of there because they were so cute and they were so cool. Now you can buy the cup and they keep your credit card just to make sure you don't steal the cup.
Yeah. There was like a dinosaur last year.
Well, I had that one already this year.
You
That's
did?
Got a gin cocktail in it. I was there the day they opened. But it looks fantastic. Christmas music, I'm telling you. So,
it's like Santa exploded in there.
Exploded. There's no way to go in there and Christmas not feel like the holidays have kicked off.
Right. It'll get you in the spirit.
But pro tip here, they usually open at 5 o'clock till 2 a.m. This year, they open at 4 p.m.
Uh-oh.
So for those who want to get there first, I was in line first.
Nice.
First person in line at 3:30, got in. They all laughed at me, but I'm like, you know what? It's popular.
I know. They probably would have let you cut the line then.
I know, but I was not going to play that card. The line was to the street by the time they opened at 4 o'clock on the first day.
Yeah, there's a few. Miracle has really set the bar high, and there's a few in town.
Yeah.
Y-Hill added one this
Y-Hill
year.
Y-Hill added
one. That's got a tiki theme. That's pretty cool. We're going to check that out at some point. And then what we also did, though, for people who are traveling, and even if you're not going to do it this year, you can kind of save it as a bucket list for next year, are some other big holiday bars in other cities like Boston, New York.
So. I was traveling with my girlfriends in New York last year, the first weekend in December, and I drink more than they do. They shop more than I do. So we walked out of a store on Fifth Avenue. I'm like, I need a drink. And I just turn around and it looks like Christmas come to life. And I was like, that's where we're going to drink. I walk in and they go, do you have a reservation? I'm like, no. They go, it filled up a year ago. I'm like, okay. Can I just go to the bar and take a photo? Well, we walked to the bar. We hovered and we hovered and we hovered. Three people got up and left and we got three seats.
Nice.
It was awesome. And of course, we didn't want to leave because it was just so fun.
Yeah.
But it did inspire us to look at different cities up and down the East Coast mm-hmm. that have these Christmas bars. So if you're traveling with your family, who knows? It's kind of a fun adulting getaway.
I know. It's kind of worth going to all of them just to see it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're, one of them here is family friendly, actually. Is St. Nick's, and that is family friendly up until a certain time. You're going to check the website to be sure.
Don't show up with your kids in your stroller without checking.
Right. But I think, and I don't even know if there's like when I say family, I'm not sure that it's like littles, but I know several of my friends took some of their teenagers last year or people I knew, and you can do it up until 7 p.m. I want to say is what it was. And they were like set it up for their kid and like their little boyfriend or girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
They would go get all the little Instagram pictures and it had mocktails. But after a certain time, whatever it is, 6 or 7, it's, you know, obviously 21 and up. I don't think a lot of people knew that there was a family option. And I have not confirmed that they're doing that again this year. So look it up before you.
But it's great. It's a lot of fun. And it's a neat way to have, you know, a little drink out and get in the Christmas spirit, holiday spirit.
So. And before we let you go, make sure you vote for Best Bars while we're talking about bars.
Best Bars, voting is still open until December 15th. And you can vote for your best wine bar, cocktail bar, game day food, but definitely vote for your best overall bar.
And best bartender.
It's big. And check it out.
Cheers.
Cheers. This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, Dish on This, where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.